G'day listeners, you're here with Benny Banksy and Boydy, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy.
Now, we are guessing you're not just listening to this podcast for our jokes, you are listening because you are serious about your NBL fantasy.
But how serious are you? Are you serious enough to compete in a league where three out of the four teams that made finals were ranked in the top 15 overall?
Are you serious enough that you want to get the advanced stats to win your home league?
Do you want to take part in fantasy banter from a group chat that includes multiple top 10 finishing coaches and Benny and Banksy?
Are you interested in winning the entire NBL fantasy competition?
Well, like the last two winners of NBL fantasy, you should consider becoming a Patreon supporter.
With prices of $1, $5 and $7 per month, find the level of support that suits you best with no ongoing commitment.
Group chat, advanced stats,
weekly newsletters, cheat sheets,
Patreon leagues with prizes, and Banksy's Captains exclusive from round 4.
Head to our website and click the link, or head directly to www.patreon.com/basketballblokes.
G'day there, it's Zach, also known as the Fez, coach of the Fez Monkeys. I gotta say, the best part of being a Patreon supporter is the ever so helpful Basketball Blokes community. Whether it be team advice, injury news, or Boydie's gifts, the Discord chat has it covered. Also, quite handy for those pesky last minute player withdrawals.
Hey guys, Denna Melrose here, coach of OK Then. And my favourite part about being a Patreon with the Basketball Blokes is all the data and stats they send through. It's worth far more than they charge, and it couldn't be more handy.
Hi everybody, my name's Ruby and I'm the coach of the McValentines. My favourite thing about being a Patreon supporter is the pre-season cheat sheet, and knowing that I'm going to get my team off to the best start, and the Discord chat, where everyone helps me see sense after I get a little trade wild.
Hey, I'm Watto, and I'm the coach of the Coogee Hornets. If you want to get all the stats, have some great banter with all those like-minded fantasy individuals, make sure you get on board with the Basketball Blokes and become a Patreon.
All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Do we like cheese and Pinot now that Wetzel chose to go? Or with a sieve and some Frenchmen, can the pretzel raise his dough? The defending champs signed Dellavedova. Mojave's still the next star, but will he supernova? There are makers and hunters and cooks for the Kings, but will it end up in championship rings? Harvey's floating around again. He'll be picking Roland with Big Juke Reef and two blokes named Froling. We love Big Will That Thrills and Kai Soto from the Phils, and Big Zim on the rim with Machado feeding him. With a bullet spear force with Sobey and Tyrell? When the law's headed west, only time will tell. So without further ado, we're back for NBL 22. G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydie, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. And this podcast, we've got a special guest with us again, Roy of DT Talk and AFL Traders fame. Roy, thanks for joining us, mate. Appreciate it.
G'day fellas, it's great to be here on what is a very exciting week in Tassie.
I could only imagine. And look, it's a very exciting day for us. I'm going to start with some pleasantries, Roy. You'll have to bear with me. A couple of us here in particular are very long time listeners back in the DT is all right with me days. Basically before I started writing cursed intro songs for a fantasy basketball podcast, I was submitting golden stubby songs to DT Talk and had Kelvin perform one day. So,
okay, now we've got something pretty special here.
Very special.
Our golden stubby.
Oh, yeah.
It's usually lyrical genius by Kelvin. We know that. We know he's good at it. However, don't drop your Didax. He wrote his own little song and sent it in.
Sent a little email. It's a bloody four-verse little ditty.
It is.
Calvin's been working on this the last few days, so I only got it this afternoon. Don't say that.
It sounds like you've been working on it for years.
This is not copyright of bloody... Is it Poison? All right. Take it away, Calvin. The golden stuff. Yeah.
Stevie J didn't play, destroyed cop to zero. He was gonna give him a lifetime ban, the former DT hero. Stevie tweeted his coaches that he'd make it up next week. In the dark at Cadillac Park, he like a TT freak. He racked up a huge score, 171. He got the cherry, but he should have got the gun. And although the grub didn't mix well with Stevie of old, it can't be questioned he deserves the James Stubby Bogues thing gold.
Yeah! Woo!
That's I looked that up to find the clip to play in this podcast, and that was 10 years ago. So we are getting on, but
they were the good old days, eh?
Oh, I could imagine. The Golden Stubby. Look, I don't know what's in Calvin's coffee cup, but if it's something similar to what goes in, what would come out of the Golden Stubby. Yeah. But he tends to drink a lot of coffee during his podcast these days. But
And it shows too.
Yeah, that's right. So, and also we're going to say thanks. I think this is probably over 3 years ago now that I think in particular Warnie we reached out to, and he let us actually post a weekly article up on the DT Talk site. And to be honest, that's probably where we got most of our following from, was from the fantasy heads of the AFL fantasy community. And that's why we're still here today. And to see where you guys have gone to, like that platform that you've spent, as I've said, 10 plus years making, and now you're nominated for Best Sports Podcast in the Australian Podcast Awards. Any news on that yet, or in the six finalists?
No, so yeah, we're part of the six finalists. I don't know what our chances are like, because they're all pretty well-known people, but, you know, to be in the top six is a bit of an honour, really, and then we're in the People's Choice as well. I think we came 14th overall in that last year, so fingers crossed we might get a top 10 finish in the Listener's Choice, hopefully.
Well, fingers crossed, and good luck there, Roy. Banksy here. Question I'm going to throw at you, something that's often referred to even in AFL during the season, is players with a basketball background. So if you can explain to us your basketball background, as I heard you got a bit of a shout out on Gibbo's podcast last season.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. Basketball is my number one true love, to be honest. So, I'm massive on basketball backgrounds. I think they do transfer to footy really well. But as far as mine goes, I had a very long career here in Tassie and a fair bit of success in Div 1 rosters and things like that. I played NBL 1, I think it's referred to as now. So, I played a couple of years of that, and unfortunately, just towards the end of my second year, I was in the starting five and things like that. But our team, so Launceston had a men's team and a women's team, and lost a major sponsor, and one team had to go, and it was the men's team. So that was the end of my NBL 1 career, which was pretty disappointing. But had a wicked team. We had a really good young team. Lucas Walker, you guys would know Waxy.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So he was a young up-and-comer in the team. And like I said, we had some really good young players. But, the men's team got the arse. As far as Gibbo giving me a shout-out, yeah, that was nice of him. So I've got a few years on Gibbo, but we used to have some really good hit-outs. I guess he was maybe 17, 18, and I would have been in the prime of my career. So he used to come back from the AIS, and we'd match up on each other when we obviously played head to head. So that was pretty wicked. He's obviously elite defender, so I'd go from finding it reasonably easy to score to having to work pretty hard with Gibbo in my pocket. But we had some awesome matchups, and we used to play together. We'd team up together sometimes, which was a nice change from going head to head and play in some state sort of tournaments on the coast and stuff like that. So that used to be really, really good fun playing with him, as opposed to against him, against players like, I don't know if you guys would know these guys, but the Armstrong brothers, Ben and Sam, who are the father and uncle of Taron and Trav,
yep,
that are absolutely dominating at the moment. Yeah, so, it was because there was three Siebel teams or NBL 1 teams in the state. Those rosters used to be really good, and mine and Gibbo's team used to really hold our own. So it was cool, really good fun.
That is really high level stuff. Really interesting to hear about, and it sounded like it was a, you know, a real fertile breeding ground back in the day. Some of those names that you mentioned, and that's where I kind of want to get to next as we go along, a bit focusing on the Jack Jumpers here and what it actually means to have a Tassie team representing the state in the national competition. So you're a teacher in one of in your what we call your normal job. And first thing I wanted to know is in Tassie, I mean, for me, basketball was the main sport getting played at school time. So is that still the case? Is there still a passion for participation in basketball in the schools?
Oh, massive, mate. So I, for a few years there with my – I teach at a high school and, you know, have these option classes for kids to choose each year. I used to take it to senior staff all the time that I wanted a basketball academy for beginners through to our, you know, our elite kids that play at national level to be able to opt into a class. And obviously I wanted to teach it so I could teach the beginners the fundamentals and then help push the elite guys a little bit. And it took a few years before they let me put it in the option booklet. But once they eventually did, it's gone off now. So I've had probably five or six with junior and senior basketball academy classes this year at my school. So the kids absolutely love it. And it has been that mix of elite kids right through to kids that just want to, I don't know, get good enough to be able to play in a social roster with their mates and that sort of thing.
That's fantastic to hear. So I read years ago that Warney wanted to get an official AFL fantasy class in the curriculum. That didn't quite happen, I don't think, but you had a bit more luck with your academy by the sound of it.
Yeah. I actually had a crack at the fantasy class as well, but the catch was, so I put the spiel in and I called it AFL fantasy or whatever, and the only for me to get it in the actual book, the senior staff decided that it had to be called sports statistics and analysis. And that really hurt me when it came time to kids signing up, because otherwise I would have filled the class easy.
Yeah, it sounds like you would have, Matt. I might sign up for a high school class just to do it, I think, as well, if you were doing that.
Oh, how good would it be? But you can't go calling it sports statistics and analysis. We just sound like nerds, and no one wants to sign up for that.
Well, actually, myself and Benny will probably be all about it, being accountants by trade, I guess. But
I can
understand the kids growing up, maybe they won't be choosing those subjects. So it was bad enough, I think, my first year of you doing that.
Yeah, we're in denial. We don't like to be open and out there. So we just hide behind the fantasy banner.
Yep, like it. Switching gears to the JJs, mate. I guess Benny and I got on board with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix here in their joint or their expansion year, their first year, foundation year. And really impressed with how they went about sort of the community engagement things and getting people on board. And, you know, they were playing games out here down in the Southeast, preseason games, et cetera, et cetera. How have the JJs been with all that sort of stuff?
Look, I was impressed with how the Phoenix went about it, and I was hopeful that the JJs would do something similar. And I cannot fault what they've been doing in that department. It has been that good, and they are so accessible that it's a massive, massive tick for me. So through different community staff to helping out with my basketball classes, for example, they're just really easy to connect to and talk to. I've been kind of lucky because I know like a couple of people involved, like Mark Radford's one of their coaches. He coached against me for years in Tassie, and he's a really good bloke. And also a couple of their players have been into like AFL fantasy and stuff like that. So we've been able to build a little bit of a relationship. Clint Steinle, I think he's been playing fantasy since he was over in the States playing college. So people like him are really accessible as well.
Good to know. I'll take note there. I guess, Roy, is there like a general level of excitement to have a Tasmanian team in the NBL over there?
Massive, massive excitement. So especially in my region, so Launceston, when we lost our NBL1 team, it was pretty hard on all the up-and-coming basketballers. You had to travel to the northwest or to Hobart to get a game at that level, and it's pretty hard knocking out locals from that level that have gone through, you know, juniors and things like that. You need to be pretty special to bump someone in a position like that. But having the jack jumpers is sort of, there's no, it's sort of lost that feel now in Launceston because they've done such a good job of being a statewide representative rather than just representing Hobart. It feels like the kids have that connectivity back. And I'll just give like a couple of examples of things they've been really good with out in the community. I was at the game the other day here at Elphin Sports Centre and McVeigh wasn't playing, but the way he was going out of his way to talk to kids and things like that, I saw him razz up a heap of kids, including my son, and was like, if we get a dunk, I want all you guys jumping up and pointing at me, and I'll be jumping up pointing at you, and, you know, just little things like that. Those kids are just locked in and signed up members for life after just little things like that where people have gone the extra step.
Yeah, it's so important, and the kids is where it's at. I know family friends with young kids, like, as an entertainment product, attending an NBL game is incredible. We don't normally get that kind of access.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I saw, what's Warnie call his daughter, the big demon? I'll get a photo with
Clint. Yeah.
So, you know, it's great to see. And that's where the Blitz is, I guess, extra handy because it is in those sort of more regional centres that you can get that close access. I know that Banksy famously had a sausage roll behind Angus Brandt when we went and attended a Blitz game one day. So yeah, I think he was short of some change. Banksy was going to help him out. I think that's how the story goes. But where are we up to? So we've asked for some questions. Oh, actually, first one. I spent a few weeks in Tassie not that long ago, a couple of months ago, and I did, like you say, I saw a Jack Jumpers jersey being worn by a kid in Lonnie and in Hobart as well. So it is really across the state, which sort of supports that. But tell us about a Jack Jumper. Is it a real thing? How bad are they? I don't think I came across one when I was going around. Like, expel the myth about what a Jack Jumper is. How rare are they? Please explain.
They're not rare at all, mate, and they are nasty. They pack a serious punch. Like, they are angry little ants, like real angry. They've got a personality and it's an aggressive one. Like, if they see you and they don't like what you're doing or where you've sat or standing, they'll go out of their way to launch into a bite. And the bite is pure poison. It canes. It blows up. It's sore for probably a week. They're a killer. They're a nasty, nasty thing. Seriously, I recommend everyone who comes to Tassie just, I don't know, put them on the line and just take a sting. Just see what it's actually like. It's amazing. I've been bitten probably 9 or 10 times in my life, and yeah, they really pack one.
Nasty. Now, yeah. We put out for a couple of questions. We sort of put out there that we're going to be recording with you this evening, Roy. And there was a couple of questions that come in. Obviously, a big thing in AFL fantasy is, you know, obviously established players that perform over a long term are classed as fantasy pigs.
Ah, yes.
Dane Swan. So some of our patrons wanted to know, will there be NBL fantasy pigs on the Jack Jumpers?
Well, it's so hard because a pig, it's just so hard to come by. But I'll talk about people that are definitely capable of piggish, pig-like behaviour. And there's a few of them that are capable. So Majet, right? So he's another one. He came to one of my basketball academy classes and helped out. So I'll get off track a bit here for a second. But so some of the kids don't know that much about basketball, and they were like, oh, have you ever played NBA? And he's like, yeah, I've done a couple of stints. And they're like, oh, wow. And then he's like, they said, who's the best player you've ever played with? And he was like, well, about 2 months ago, I was playing with Kevin Durant. And they were like, what the hell? You played with Kevin Durant? Because he did that lead up to the Olympics, the practice games. He was there as a trainer and actually hit the court for a couple of those games. So the kids were absolutely blowing their mind. And he's another one who was really unreal with the kids, especially for an import. He was just so nice and accessible to them. It was really cool. But anyway, Majette, he is a bit of a stat filler at his best. So his last game the other day, it was the first time we saw him go off in the blitz scoring-wise. I think he had 25, 26. But he can really rack up assists. He doesn't mind sneaking in for those uncontested rebounds. And he's a really smart defender as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he racks up, you know, 4 or 5 steals in a couple of games, which that's not going to hurt his scoring whatsoever. But the one who, after last year, who was a bit disappointing, that has been stuffing the sheet is Magne. He's only been playing 11 or 12 minutes, and the other night he racked up 6, 9 and 3, I think it was, in about 12 minutes. So, I mean, for so few minutes, that's piggish scoring.
I think you've nailed it there. And, Majette has certainly been doing that pretty much every preseason game. He's had the 3 or 4 still. So certainly going to see more of that during the season. And totally agree on Magne. We've seen in the past what he can do when given the opportunity. And he doesn't really have much other competition at the big man spot for the Jack Jumpers. So expecting big things from both of them this season, and pretty prevalent in our teams. So I guess getting to on the back of that, an important point, Roy, how is the fantasy team forming, if it is forming? And is it getting there, or are we sort of sneakily relying on the cheat sheet release a little bit later on tonight?
Right. So I've done a trust the eye thing so far, because I've got around a few of the blitz games, but I'm definitely going to be a cheat sheet man this week. So this is my week to do, and I probably should do it in AFL fantasy. I overthink it that much. I always wreck my team by the last week, but NBL, I'm just going to pick my team this week. So I'm going to rely on you guys a fair bit, plus a little bit of insight from what I've seen and picked up at the games so far. The thing with Majette too, the depth, I love this squad they've put together, right, for an opening franchise. And I think it's one that can remain really competitive. And I think having Majette at the point, it's going to save a lot of blowouts and things like that as well, because he's just so smart. Now, the depth at the point guard isn't huge, and I think he's going to be playing a heap of minutes. So I really do like that about him. And like you said, Magne at the big man spot, he's going to have to play big minutes too for them to win games.
Sounds like you're pretty all over it there, mate. Tell me, I know you were at a couple of the games. Were you there, and did you witness Adams's dunk in that game? And what do you think of his fantasy ability?
I missed that dunk, but he's going to be capable of plenty more throughout the season. He's going to have a couple of thumping scores. So he, from a fantasy perspective and numbers on the board, he's a high-volume shooter. And if he's on, he is going to rack up a couple of big 30-point games. I don't know if his rebound and assist numbers are going to be huge. And I think if he has an off-shooting night, he's scoring fantasy wise won't be massive, but I'm a really big fan of him, and I think he might have a few thumping scores throughout the year. What do you think?
Yeah, Banksy's been pretty high on him from the start, but I'm not sure if he's still as high on him, Banksy.
I love what he can do. He's bouncy and he's very exciting from a fan perspective. Absolutely. I mean, he sat in my team through a lot of the preseason. He's no longer in there. Just unfortunately haven't seen the other stats being hit as much as I would like with rebounds, assists and the defensive numbers. But yeah, as you say, he's very exciting. Definitely going to be a draw card for bums on seats. It's more just he's almost like that Chris Golding type of player. We're going to see a lot of scoring in games, but maybe not just the other numbers to be as fantasy relevant as I had hoped.
Yeah, Majette's got the ball in his hands most of the time, and Adams is that traditional 2-shooter sort of thing at the moment. One guy that I don't reckon in the past he's had much love from a fantasy perspective. I don't know where it would leave his price either, but McDaniel, man, I've loved what he's been doing on the court. I don't know, I haven't checked his numbers, but defensively he's elite, and he's attacking a lot more than he used to when I watched him as well. And I can't imagine him being very expensive. I don't know if he's going to be a huge scorer, but he will definitely have a career spike this year given what I've seen. I reckon he'll start and yeah, he's been attacking, and you guys know what he's like in defense. He's a beast.
Yeah, actually, that was going to be our next question, mate. So good little segue there. We were going to talk about the Maccas, basically. So your McDaniel is one, McVay is the other, and they're the guys that are they're reasonably priced and possible sort of possible cash cow as well, and possible starters at the JJ's, or we think they're starters, both of them by the looks of it.
I think so.
Numbers in the blitz for McDaniel haven't been too flash. I think he's averaged about 17, let's say, over the five games.
Yeah.
McVay's a little bit higher than that, averaging around about 24, 25, I think, something along those lines. So what's your take on those two? Are they both going to start? You think they're both going to push on from there?
I think they're both going to start, yeah, which would push McIntosh to the bench and sort of lead the scoring in the second unit. That's sort of how I've read it so far. I don't know how bad McVay's Achilles is. He's missed those last two blitz games. But, I mean, McIntosh, he's another one. He'll rack up some big games as well. I just think he is capable of the off night or the foul trouble type situation as well. But he's not underpriced probably like these other two. I think there's upside for both McDaniel and McVay, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's kind of our thoughts as well, except for that red flag with that Achilles soreness or whatever has been keeping him out.
Yeah, it kept him out of two, so it's a slight worry.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to know? They do play opening on, that's right. So hopefully we'll know, and we'll have to have our backup plans in place just in case there's a laid out.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a bit higher level, mate. Fantasy, how do you guys see it as, you know, do you see it as an important piece of promotion and fan engagement with sport and you know, is it an almost like a necessity for a league that's growing such as the NBL?
100%. It's still underutilized in Australia. Like, there's so many fans out there that are connected to their current sport through fantasy, and they're watching games that they wouldn't usually watch because of fantasy. But some of the powers that be don't see that at the moment. Like, we copy America with everything else from a sports perspective, but for some reason we are ignoring the fact that fantasy sports in America is so big that you can actually still release magazines and people buy them. Like, who buys magazines these days? But even magazines are still able to run out of the shops in the States that are fantasy related. So yes, I think it's very important for connectivity and interest to a sport, and it drags in people that wouldn't otherwise be spending the time invested in games. So it's not for everyone, no, but it is for a lot of people, and they deserve a little bit more, respect in terms of accessibility to content and stuff that they are interested in my opinion.
I think it's a very shared opinion amongst the room here. And yeah, I agree. Like, couple of us are big NFL fantasy players here, and literally, Red Zone was created, NFL Red Zone was created, a specific broadcast, I guess, style for fantasy. And the rights just shot up through the roof. It's like a perfect linear sort of chart with the rise of fantasy to the amount of people watching. Like, they're out of local broadcast that they have, you know, just like you say, the games that your team's not playing. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of a frustration of ours, but we're hoping that we're well positioned to, if it does grow, it'll grow along with us, and we're stoked with our fantasy community that we've got at the moment. So I know we put the message out, Calvin's not here, but we're gonna wrap this up, but I just thought I'd finish with a pirate joke, just, you know, thought it'd be traditional. And
can't be anyone, cow.
Well, the answer is not Kapar. So I'll give you that clue. But Roy, what is a pirate's favourite basketball shot?
No idea.
Would be a hook shot. Got it. There we go. Well done.
I'll tell you what, you guys are on. You're on.
Possibly a scarymummy.com. I'm not too sure. But yeah, I'm going to pass the board in. All right. I'm going to say thank you very much for joining us. and we'll try and get some content up on Dream Team Talk. Is there anything else that you want to plug? Where can people find you? Because obviously you're obviously into your basketball, as you've told us about today. So obviously well worth the follow from those basketball tweets that I'm sure AFL fantasy people give you hell about. But where can people find you and follow you?
No, they don't mind. They know who I am and what I'm like, and they allow those tweets to go through to the keeper. So at RoyDT is my Twitter handle, and obviously we're at AFL Fantasy and DreamTeamTalk.com if you want to hit us up with anything like that. And your guys, like you said, you guys will have your content available on DT Talk again. I'm assuming once the Warn Dog weaves his magic. So, yeah, feel free to give a follow if you want. You'll probably last a couple of days before you're sick of me, but that's okay.
Fair enough, mate. We've seen a huge rise in just JJ supporters on our side here.
Yeah.
I guess with this off season and then the season sort of ramping up with the Bliss, et cetera, mate. So brace yourself. You could have a flood of followers if they're not already following you and know you from the AFL traders, et cetera, mate. So thanks again for joining us. Appreciate your time, mate. And for all the listeners out there, you can catch us on Twitter at @Beeble_blokes, on Facebook at Basketball Blokes, and just www.basketballblokes for all your NBL fantasy needs. Thanks, Roy. Have a good evening, mate.
Cheers, mate. There's one more thing I wanted to say about the Jack Jackers team. Do you know what we're missing? I love everything they've done, but Gibbo should have been in the team.
Well, I'm wondering if you're going to say that since we mentioned his name very early. I think he's still involved with the Phoenix. He's still hanging around a fair bit. I think he might be training some sort of training job down there, doing the fitness sort of thing too. So
yeah, it was just such a missed opportunity. I'm not a fan of forcing Tassie connections for a team like this, but when you've got an Olympian with his credentials from Tassie just sitting there, and he could still contribute. We're one player short of having really nice depth on the roster, and Gibbo is just out there in the wilderness. It's I'm not sure what went on there, but I'm not a fan of it. I just wanted to mention that.
Might have set his price a little bit too high, mate, in the background. I'm not too sure. But, we're kind of the same. I kind of expected it. When we didn't get an announcement that he'd re-signed with Sem, I thought he was definitely destined for a spot down there, mate, teaching some of the younger kids on that Jack Jumpers squad. I reckon he would have been perfect down there. So I think you're all over it, mate.
Right behind the teaching and coaching, but he could still play. Like, he would still
be for sure.
Yeah,
sure, so, for sure, mate. Yeah, no, I don't mean that at all. I mean, he was going to play and be that almost playing coach on the court there. So
yeah, definitely. I feel better for getting that off my chest. So thanks for giving me that.
That's all right. That's what we're here for as well. Thanks again, mate, and hopefully chat soon.
All right. Cheers. Good luck, boys.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate.